So James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unscriptural, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. John's going to come and bring God's words to us now. Thanks, John.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Dan. Thank you as well to Grace for the children's talk. They are very helpful indeed. I'm sure we can all relate to that. There are times, even though we know God and we are born again Christians, we do doubt the Lord at times, and that's to our shame. So thank you very much for that, Grace, and thanks, Dan, for leading our worship this morning. Allow me just to share my screen with you just now, if I can remember how to do this. I think it's this I want to show, and that. Great. Can you see that's just a blank screen? Blank screen. Good man. Thanks, Aris. That's great. Let's just come before God in prayer. Let's ask for his help as we come to his word now. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, in this book that you have preserved for us, in the book of James, we acknowledge that this is indeed the word of God, your word to us. And in this book, Lord, we read that you chose to give us birth, to give us new life through the word of truth. We thank you that the God who spoke in time past and said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God who speaks today. Your word, Lord, is not just knowledge, but your word is power, and it transforms us. The very reading of it, the very understanding of it, Lord, is able, Lord, not just to educate us, but to transform us in our hearts and in our minds. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. And we pray as we study your word together that there may be light, that we might understand your word. And Father, we do pray for any who may be with us this morning, who as yet wouldn't call themselves Christians, for whom, Lord, many of the things relating to Jesus and Christianity are still a mystery. Father, we pray that your hand might be upon them. And our prayer for them is very simple, that you would choose to give them new birth as you have chosen to give us new birth. But Father, we come to you as Christians. We come to you as those, Lord, whom you have called to yourself. Our desire is that we would be better Christians, that we would not doubt, Lord, we would trust you and your word. So, Father, we pray that we would live lives worthy of the gospel. So, Father, bless us now, Lord, as James perhaps puts his finger on a sensitive part or area of our life. We pray, Father, that you will speak to us. And we ask all these things, not just for ourselves, but for the boys and girls in Sunday school and the teenagers and seniors. Lord, wherever your word is taught, Father, speak to us, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to begin by showing you something. This here was the Bible college that I went to many moons ago. It says it's a Bible college training with a missionary perspective. That's me at the top of the stairs, believe it or not. That was in the days when I had hair with my hands in my pockets. I must have said something funny because I remember they were all laughing. I wish I could remember what it was. I'd say it again. But that was me at the top of the stairs. I was the only guy that went through the whole of college wearing a shirt and tie. The whole 3 or 4 years I was there and quoted only from the authorised version of the Bible. I was quite militant in those days. But why am I showing you this? When I applied to this college, and when some people apply to Bible colleges, you have to give your testimony. They want to know that you're a Christian, and you usually have to supply a written testimony. And that's what I did. Usually your testimony includes what your life was like before you became a Christian, and then how you became a Christian, what your thinking was, how God was working in your life, and then what Jesus means to you today. It doesn't end when you become a Christian, but what does the Lord mean to you today? So I duly did this, and I remember right at the end saying something like, that's how I became a Christian, and I want to order my life for the rest of my days according to Galatians 2:20. I remember that was my thinking at the time. And Galatians 2:20 is this: for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Or at least that's what I wanted to put. But instead of putting Galatians 2:20, I actually put Galatians 5:20, and which says this: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions. I laugh every time I see that verse, because that's what I put in my application for Bible college, that was how I wanted to live my life, in witchcraft and dissensions and selfish ambition. And as I look back on that, and as I think of that list, I think, well, that'd be a shocker to say that that's how you want to live your life, because Paul certainly says that's the way perhaps we used to live. But it's interesting to note that in that one verse, Galatians 5:20, the two things that actually James mentions are in this: envy and selfish ambition, or jealousy and selfish ambition. So it's easy to look at that list and think, yeah, that's so shocking, you would never do that. But it's amazing, even as Christians, there's still something in our old nature that is still there, that still shows itself in ways that are unworthy of the gospel. And really, that's what we're looking at this morning. You remember we are studying the book of James, and James desires to write to Christians that are scattered, that they might grow and become mature. That's really what he wants. And he has a reason for saying this, because in chapter 1, verse 18, you remember, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. In other words, the Christian is not somebody who just becomes religious. A Christian is somebody who is a work of God, that God has come and chosen us, chosen to give us new birth. This new birth results in us knowing who he is, results in knowing ourselves, our sin, coming to God and asking him to forgive us and accepting his offer of forgiveness through Jesus and his finished work on the cross. He died for us. And this new life now that's in us through the Holy Spirit should show itself in fruit, that the wee image there that you have there with the leaves and stuff. Really, that's what the book of James is all about. There are over 50 imperatives in this letter. Do this, don't do that. But the book is not given to us to put us on a guilt trip. Oh, that's not me, woe is me. Every word of God, by looking at these things, God is able to use it to produce growth. So it's about growth, it's not about guilt. And I hope as we come to this passage, because in some ways it can appear negative, when James is pointing out things in us that could perhaps just discourage us. But perhaps by the very pointing of these things out, the word of God is able to come to us in power, and we have the strong desire not to be like the picture that he paints for us here. So that's what we're looking at. We've already looked at a few things that Christians, how they should live and how they shouldn't live. We've already looked at anger, showing favoritism, and last week, the wrong use of our tongue. We saw the importance of power of the tongue last week in chapter 3. And we saw that the tongue is basically an indication of our heart. You want to know what somebody's like inside, what they're like as a person? Listen to their speech. The speech shows us really the condition of our heart. Jesus says this: what the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. And we looked at that last time. Now, that teaching that we looked at last week, and even the teaching this morning, in many ways, is aimed at the teachers of the church. Verse 1, it's how he began. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, he aims us at the teachers, because some of the teachers there were teaching for the wrong reasons. They were proud. They were boastful, and they boasted knowledge, and in many ways they were fond of dispute. They were bitter in their discussions. They were eager to defeat their opponents, and they envied each other, and they tried to show their spiritual superiority in their knowledge and the things that they know. And James is saying, you really should think twice about this, because the more you say, the more you're liable to shoot yourself in the foot, as it were. But he goes on to speak to the same people. Who is wise, verse 13, and understanding? Who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, if you think you're wise and understanding, thinking of these teachers, let him show it, he says, by his good life. In other words, James wants not just them, but us, to look at our hearts, to see if we are wise and understanding, if we are living the way we should live. And this is what he's doing. He's looking at the heart. Again, look at verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. So he's looking in some ways, still carrying on the theme of the tongue. How does this tongue show its hearts? Well, he picks out these two things: envy and selfish ambition. This is such an important thing for each one of us, because we are all prone to these things. It's a basic human condition. If you just zoomed out for a small planet and looked at our planet and took the roofs off houses, looked at children, looked at old folk, it's amazing how envy and selfish ambition really forms a big part of our life. You see in children, they see something, they want it, and mum, dad, I want this, and so forth. They envy what other people have. They think only of themselves. They're not naturally good at sharing, and others benefit and they might suffer in some way. And the sad thing is, this continues with us throughout life. We envy. We perhaps don't like to see others getting the upper hand or being seen to be promoted or just to be recognized, and don't get recognized. We envy what they have got. And it's the same with selfish ambition. We want to have things be recognized. And this is not just in a business sense. It's in the very small areas of life. Just conflict. Just even when you're having a conversation with somebody, somebody's being recognized, not being recognized, you puff your chest out and you say, well, you know, let me share with you my knowledge and what I know. And even Christians, is very common among God's people. Sometimes we can be strongly opinionated, correcting of others, and let me share with you my knowledge. Let me just put you right or correct you in this. It's in there more than we know. This envy, this desire to be something, this desire to be recognized, to promote ourselves. It's one of the characteristics of a young Christian. It's great if you ever meet somebody who's just become a Christian. They are so humble in many ways. They are setting out on a new life. They are so teachable. They are sponges. They don't know God's word. You come to them, they drink it in. But sad to say, when Christians often become older Christians, they become experts. It's been my experience, certainly, working in churches. Sometimes older the Christian is, the more that they are less likely to take teaching. They are more likely to want to teach others, to put people right. And this is, behind this is often pride. I am a Christian. I have been doing this for quite some time. And this can easily be the case. And people, it's the way of the world. The world behaves in this way. It's how they live. You look after number one. You look after your family. It's all about you. It's not necessarily about them. And you're right to envy and to do things because it's how we live. It's the default mode of our world. Children do it, we all do it, and it's very real. And that's why he's chosen these things, because envy and selfish ambition drive everything in our heart. And I wonder if you really believe that this morning, because this is what James addresses. And he says that this wisdom is not godly. verse 15. It does not come down from heaven. It's an earthly wisdom. It's unspiritual. It is even demonic. So if we think we're wise and we're spiritual, and this book is about maturity, we need to look at these things. And that's what I want us to do this morning, very briefly in the time that remains. So first of all, I want to look at a wisdom from below. I only have 2 points. And the fact that James says so much, so many adjectives and verbs and what have you in a few sentences, you basically, all you've got time to do is really just to pick these out. And really, that's really all we can do, and to ponder them and to think them through. So let's see the 2 wisdoms that James speaks of here. Christians, people who profess to be wise, he talks about a wisdom from below. He calls it a wisdom in apostrophes. Instead of being a divine wisdom, it's an earthly, unspiritual, and even a demonic wisdom. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? And then he says how to show this. But he says, but if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. First of all, we see bitter envy. This is where we, it's not often in the big things, it's the small things. You can be having a conversation with somebody after a service, over a cup of tea. They're promoting a sermon and immediately go, oh, I wish I was getting that. And it can be anything. They're just liked more than I'm liked. And we become envious. And they know what this is like. And they think this is how you live the good life. This is what James is talking about. You want to live the good life and by preparing yourself. It's not really considering others. And if they are hurt in the process, even by just some of the things that we say to promote ourselves, then it doesn't matter. We might shed a brief tear, but really driven by this. And even as one of the about a harsh zeal, even in our zeal for the Lord, this can be a harsh zeal. And where we correct other Christians, where we lord it over them because of our knowledge of deep God, where we correct folk and put them right and so forth, it is childish. It is spiritual. It is it relates to self and what we want, and it because we are promoting self perhaps more than winning the other person. And selfish ambition is not something to boast about. And sad to say, most people don't see this as wrong. Selfish ambition. I want it my way. I'm worthy of this. And this is the default state of us all. James describes this as it's unspiritual. And it's so clear, isn't it? It's unspiritual. And it's amazing how, like these teachers wanting to promote themselves, they're maybe not in a teaching capacity, but we just want to promote ourselves. And we should be recognized. And he says it's not only unspiritual, it's demonic. That's quite something. Now, you can't get a harsher statement to people who might be even God's people who think they're wise and understanding, but they're envious of driven by selfish ambition. He says it's not only earthly and unspiritual, it's demonic, it's of the devil, because pride and division, well, that's what it causes, are characteristics of the devil, who looks after his own interests and not the interests of others. The result of this, James says, is disorder, verse 16. For where you find this, you will find disorder. I'm sure you know this yourself. If you've ever met somebody and it's obvious that they are promoting themselves and elevating themselves and their knowledge or just their life and they want to do this, it does promote disorder, a restlessness, an instability, a disturbance. Some people can do this, can't we? We can go in and it's almost like dropping a bomb and then walking away and you're left with a fallout. People just getting things off their chest, just saying it. just parading their wisdom, making a name for themselves, making sure they're recognized, promoting themselves, and then they leave and people are in tatters. It promotes disorder. There's nothing good of this. And then he says, and every evil practice stand alone, be to other sins. And that's what happens in these, that if we don't get the things we want, things, whether it's recognition or whatever, we often respond in an unspiritual way. The envy, the selfish ambition then leads to anger, to gossip, to retaliation, to underhanded tactic, to lies, to harsh talking, and so forth. And these sins, very much if left unchecked, cause these things among us. James, as a pastor to all the churches, head of the church in Jerusalem, knows the condition of men. And these things, if these things are addressed, because this is the condition of our heart, our whole life will be really sorted. It really will be resolved. And if you analyze your own life and look, often behind this is envy. Often behind arguments and fallouts is your ambition to promote yourself, to have it your way. It doesn't take others into consideration. It's really what you want. And it spirals into every evil practice. So here James then wants us to look at our heart and where we see envy and selfish ambition, often expressed through our speech to the hurt of others, is not wise. It is not a wisdom that comes from above. It's the wisdom of the world. So let's secondly look at the wisdom from above. And what a contrast you have here. Look at verse 17. 17 has seven adjectives in this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Knowledge. If we profess to have knowledge, the Bible never ever promotes knowledge as a standalone entity. It never promotes knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge and obedience always go hand in hand. It is wisdom. Wisdom is always practical in the Bible. You cannot profess to be wise and live foolishly. Wisdom, if we claim to have wisdom, it must be in line with God's word. And knowledge at its deepest level, deep relationship with God. That is wisdom. And that's what James now, he gives us seven adjectives in this. And all we're going to do now is just to look at them, tick them off, and use them to encourage us if we see them. I'm sure in many ways we see these things, as well as the old nature, the tendency to envy and selfish ambition. I'm sure we still see that God has done a work in us. First of all, he says, the wisdom that comes from above, that the way to live, a correct, because that's what it's about, wisdom in the Bible, live about life. First, pure, someone becomes a Christian, they're born again from above, our heart is changed. Ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. First of all, we see bitter envy. This is where it's not often in the big things, it's the small things. You can be having a conversation with somebody after a service, over a cup of tea. They are promoting sermon and immediately go, I wish I was getting that. And it can be anything. They're just liked more than I'm liked. And we become envious. And they know what this is like. And they think this is how you live the good life. This is what James is talking about. You want to live the good life in verse by preparing ourselves, being it's not really considering others. And if they are hurt in the process, even by just some of the things that we say to promote ourselves, then it doesn't matter. We might shed a brief tear, but really driven by this. And even as on the about a harsh zeal, even in our zeal for the Lord, this can be a harsh zeal. And where we correct other Christians, where we lord it over them because of our knowledge of God, where we correct folk and put them right and so forth, it is childish. It is spiritual. It is it relates to self and what we want, and it because we are promoting self perhaps more than winning the other person. And selfish ambition is not something to boast about. And sad to say, most people don't see this as wrong. Selfish ambition, I want it my way, I'm worthy of this, and this is the default state of us all. James describes this as it's unspiritual. And it's so clear, isn't it? It's unspiritual. And it's amazing how, like these teachers wanting to promote themselves, they're maybe not in a teaching capacity, but we just want to promote ourselves, and we should be recognized. And he says it's not only unspiritual, it's demonic. That's quite something. Oh, you can't get a harsher statement to people who might be even God's people, who think they're wise and understanding, but they're envious of by selfish ambition. He says it's not only earthly and unspiritual, it's demonic, it's of the devil, because pride and division, that's what it causes, are characteristics of the devil, who looks after his own interests and not the interests of others. The result of this, James says, is disorder, verse 16. For where you find this, you will find disorder. I'm sure you know this yourself. If you've ever met somebody and it's obvious that they are promoting themselves and elevating themselves and their knowledge or just their life, and they want to do this, it does promote disorder, a restlessness, an instability, a disturbance. Some people can do this, can't we? We can go in and it's almost like dropping a bomb and then walking away, and you're left with a fallout. People just getting things off their chest, just saying it. Just parading their wisdom, making a name for themselves, making sure they're recognized, promoting themselves, and then they leave and people are in tatters. It promotes disorder. There's nothing good of this. And then he says, and every evil practice stand alone, lead to other sins. And that's what happens in these. That if we don't get the things we want, things, whether it's recognition or whatever, we often respond in an unspiritual way. The envy, the selfish ambition then leads to anger, to gossip, to retaliation, to underhanded tactic, to lies, to harsh talking, and so forth. And these sins, very much if left unchecked, cause these things among us. James, as a pastor to all the churches, head of the church in Jerusalem, knows the condition of men. And these things, if these things are addressed, because this is the condition of our heart, our whole life will be really sorted. It really will be resolved. And if you analyze your own life and look, often behind this is envy. Often behind arguments and fallouts is your ambition to promote yourself, to have it your way. It doesn't take others into consideration. It's really what you want. And it spirals into every evil practice. So here James then wants us to look at our heart and where we see envy and selfish ambition, often expressed through our speech to the hurt of others, is not wise. It is not a wisdom that comes from above. It's the wisdom of the world. So let's secondly look at the wisdom from above. And what a contrast you have here. Look at verse 17. 17 has seven adjectives in this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Knowledge. If we profess to have knowledge, the Bible never ever promotes knowledge as a standalone entity. It never promotes knowledge for the sake of knowledge. Knowledge and obedience always go hand in hand. It is wisdom. Wisdom is always practical in the Bible. You cannot profess to be wise and live foolishly. Wisdom, if we claim to have wisdom, it must be in line with God's word. And knowledge at its deepest level, deep relationship with God. That is wisdom. That's what James now, he gives us seven adjectives in this. And all we're going to do now is just to look at them, tick them off, and use them to encourage us if we see them. I'm sure in many ways we see these things, as well as the old nature, the tendency to envy and selfish ambition. I'm sure we still see that God has done a work in us. First of all, he says, the wisdom that comes from above, that the way to live, a correct, because that's what it's about, wisdom in the Bible, live about life. First, pure, someone becomes a Christian, they're born again from above, our heart is changed. You have to begin. By envy, but like the Lord, see he came to save us. He came that through his poverty we might be rich, that he might be the Savior himself. He comes in purity. It is about creating with the angel praying earth peace to those on. Is portrayed as bringing peace. I wonder if folk think at that about coming. Is interested in me. Reconciled peace. This too. Father by is peace loving and peace making. Is this a characteristic that's known? He is considerate. The wisdom of us is considerate in selfish and your actions to self consideration rather there evaporate. But are you considerate? And I'm sure you are. Many of you, you think of others, you consider them. It's not just about you. Rejoice in this, sisters. This is proof that the Lord has given you new birth. I think I've said an earlier before I became a Christian, yes, selfish and drove me in envy. I just lived my life to go on. Better car, better status. And this is at a daily level. It's reason and it's courteous to you can others. It's not just you and their needs and how they will feel. The things that you do, you don't throw a hand grenade in and then walk off and don't consider it. It is willing to submit to others, willing to receive grace from others. These great mercies, it's willing to be better than self. Only Christian can do that. It's willing to look your own eye, not the speck in your brother. It is submissive. Lord, they might be wrong in this area, but I am a sinner saved by grace. Lord, I daren't speak. It is submissive. It always is becoming a servant of mercy. As we receive mercy, so we say, Father, we receive mercy on the day we became a Christian, and we receive mercy every day. Monday, you will need the mercy of God because of your attitude or things on the Sunday. We need mercy every day. As we be merciful to others and good fruit towards others. We're impartial. We don't favourites. We love and we serve. It's not a veneer. It is actually very real. Now, it's very easy to look at those qualities and think that this is somebody soft. This is just somebody that's so pliable, but nothing could be further from the truth. To show these characteristics in verse 17, peace, impartial and sincere, is peace-loving and peace-making. Is this a characteristic that's known? He is considerate. The wisdom from us is considered in selfish and your actions to self consideration for others there it evaporates. But are you considered? And I'm sure you are, many of you, you think of others, you consider them. It's not just about you. Rejoice in this, sisters. This is proof that the Lord has given you new birth. I think I've said an earlier before I became a Christian, yes, selfish ambition drove me in envy. I just lived my life to go on. Better car, better status. And this is at a daily level. It's reasonable and it's courteous to you can brothers. It's not just you. And their needs and how they will feel, the things that you do, you don't throw a hand grenade in and then walk off and don't consider it. It is willing to submit to others, willing to receive grace from others. These great mercies, it's willing to better than self. Only Christian can do that. It's willing to look your own eye, not the speck in your brother. It is submissive. Lord, they might be wrong in this area, but I am a sinner saved by grace. Lord, I daren't speak. It is submissive. It always is becoming a servant of mercy. As we receive mercy, so we say, Father, receive mercy on the day we became a Christian, and we receive mercy every day. Monday, you will need the mercy of God because of your attitude or things on the Sunday. We need mercy every day. As we are merciful to others and good fruit towards others. We're impartial. We don't have favourites. We love and we serve. It's not a veneer. It is actually very real. Now, it's very easy to look at those qualities and think that this is somebody soft. This is just somebody that's so pliable, but nothing could be further from the truth. To show these characteristics in verse 17, peace, impartial, and sincere, takes a very strong person. This person is a giant of a Christian. They are very mature as Christians. It's the characteristics of Jesus. For I am gentle and humble in heart, Matthew 11. That's how he describes himself. And he wasn't weak. Remember it was said of Jesus, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering flax or a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. That's the characteristic of somebody who is envious and selfish ambition. They will snuff out. They will sort things out. They will do this. But Jesus, in his meekness, allows people to flourish instead of squashing them. Only a very strong person can live like this. Jesus was truly gentle and a great peacemaker. Remember on the cross, when he's crucified unjustly, what does he say? Doesn't think of himself. He's considerate of those who are crucifying him. Father, forgive them. That is maturity. It is not about getting our rights. It is about the other person. It is dying to ourselves and thinking of them. Remember, we read in John 13, we read this a number of months ago, Jesus, when he showed the full extent of his love to his disciples, what did he do? He takes a towel, he wraps us around him, and he washes their feet. He washes their feet. He was considerate of them. He was submissive to them. This is somebody who's a spiritual giant. This is not somebody who thinks, well, I just don't criticize, I'm okay. But how far do you take this? Even James, the James of history, he earned a reputation in his role as a mediator, as a peacemaker. When the churches were arguing and they're trying to find things out, they went to James, the writer of this letter. He was a mediator. He knew how to bring peace. And the end result of this, when we live in this way, we reap a harvest of righteousness. Look at verse 18. Peacemakers, if that is us, who sow in peace, what do we reap? A harvest of righteousness. Just think of this. Just think of the people that you meet. Think of, do they just enjoy your company because you just bring peace when you're there? There's something about you that just communicates to them that you love them, that you care for them, that it's all about them, that you listen to them, you're interested in where they are, and you have the right words at the right time. The mature Christian knows how to do this. They live so close to God, they can just say the right thing at the right time. As I was thinking of this, think of the churches, think of perhaps even our own church, but perhaps think of Christians you've met in your life that you can say, these people were so wise and so peace-loving. There was something about them. They were strong in their faith. They were such gentle people. I can think of a few people like this I certainly met in Charlotte Chapel. They've been Christians for many years. And where others were striving after things and running about here and there and busy working and doing things, they had an aura about them. Some of them were on the pastoral care team. They were the type of person, if you were in their company for 5 minutes, you could pour out your deepest thoughts. You would make yourself vulnerable for them. You know, you could trust these people with your heart. That's quite something, isn't it? That's a mature Christian. How many people do you know like that? They are such godly people. You can be vulnerable with them. You know they would never hurt you. They would never say anything. They would never drop a hand grenade and then just walk away. They are such people that make you feel good about yourself. They're not correcting you every time. They know how to pick their battles. There are sometimes battles you do have to fight. But 99%, I'm sure 98% of the battles that we fight, we do not have to fight. Just let it go. Let it go. Just, you do not have to wind people up. Just love them, care for them, be to them what they need at that point in time. That is a mature Christian, where you just enjoy their company. If they phone you and says, let's go for a coffee, you think, great, I can't think of, I know if I'm with them, I'm going to feel good. They're going to make me feel good spiritually. They're there for me. It's not about me listening to them moaning and whinging. They will be there for me. That is peace-loving. That is quite something. And that's what Jesus is saying. With such people, sow peace, and this person then goes away and they reap righteousness. They are better Christians as a result. People, they live a better life. They're empowered. They're enthused. And that's what happens. Sow peace and righteousness is what we reap in our own life and in the life of others. Does that make sense? This is such a key, big thing that James is addressing here, because these are the things that affect us. So James says, and this, with this I'm finished, who is wise and understanding among you? Show it, he says. Don't talk about it. Don't use your tongue and tell us how wise and understanding you are. Don't show us your 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Don't show us how we should live. Don't tell us. Show it. How do we show it? We show it by our good life. Show them by your life. That's a lot harder. That the life you live is good. It is wholesome. It is godly. And the word James uses here, Greek, has two words for this word that he uses. One talks about being intrinsically good. But that's not the word that James uses. The word James uses is lovely. It's just the word lovely. It speaks of an attractive life, a lovely life. You're just a lovely person. There's a question, isn't there? Are you a lovely person? Would that describe? I don't know if that would describe me, even as a pastor. John's just a lovely guy. I'm not talking about how he looks, but in his character, he's a lovely person. You just want to be with him. You want to be beside him, and he might profess to be wise, but he's above all lives a good life. You see it by his good life. By deeds, he says, done in humility that comes from wisdom. Are you known as a good, lovely person? As a lovely person who's humble and peace-loving? This is really where the tire hits the road. And this is what James is talking about here. A wisdom that is self-driven from the world. It's fleshly. It's no good. But the wisdom from above is the life that comes from above, infused in us, that considers others, that is peace-loving, that is wise in all its affairs. Let me just finish by quoting the Lord's word in this topic. I want to return back to Galatians 5, the passage that I dealt with right at the start, and then we'll sing. Paul says this. He says the same thing as James. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And I warn you, I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the mature Christian. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. James, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's close by singing together. Make me a channel of your peace.